In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, sisters, for this moment of intimacy where, yes, it could just graciously be us. If you were expecting others, I apologize. I'm the one you're stuck with today. But Father Dominic will be here tomorrow for sure, and with Father Trembley as well. Just to begin, I want to thank you for the many books that you've given us. We've made good use of them. This is one that I'm very much excited about. I also love that I can hide so many things in my vestments, just like this. Cardinal, I'm holding it upside down. Stefan Wyszynski, I love him so dearly. And I snatched that up as soon as I saw it. So thank you for that gift. I can't wait to go through it and share it with my people, but also to encourage myself by his valued witness. Always been inspired by him since long before I answered my vocation. In our scriptures today, there's something that speaks out about St. Paul, where there he is preaching the word of God, and he's rejected, stoned to death, and yet God brings about a miraculous healing. It's truly a miracle. They were not stupid. They weren't foolish people in Lystra. They believed him to be dead, and so maybe indeed he was. But God raised him, and he got up immediately. We see something similar within the gospel, right? Our Lord is speaking as an encouragement here in the 14th chapter of St. John's gospel about the same thing, saying, "Peace, I give it to you, not as the world gives. Don't be troubled or afraid. I'm taking care of you," is what he's saying. I just want to share with you the life of somebody that I believe the Lord shared with me this morning, because I had no idea that she even existed until about an hour ago. The Lord led me to her in prayer, and just been fascinated ever since, just pouring over her life. A sister by the name of Sister Mary of the Holy Spirit. Sister Mary of the Holy Spirit, or rather, Mary of the Holy Trinity. She's eventually became a poor Clare nun. She lived between 1901 and 1942, so a short life there in the Swiss-French area, born to Protestant parents. Her mother died even giving birth to her. Her father was a Protestant missionary. And so when she turned to the age 25, something happened in her, where she had a crisis of faith, an extreme crisis of faith. And without going into what exactly caused that crisis of faith, she exclaimed one day, "There is no God. What people say about him is nothing but a farce. Life is not worth living." She said this one night as she was laying in bed, as she had just retired to go to bed, and it felt like she was nailed there to the bed as she spoke about it. Her friend, she says, had just turned out the light. There was silence. There was not altogether dark, because there was some snow outside reflecting light. "Yes, I felt despair. Oh, to die," she writes. But then what happened? In the midst of that darkness, there was a strange, silent visitor that passed through the window that was there overlooking, she said, with a French window, and thus came to stand there at the foot of her bed and just touched the edge of her bed and remained there in total silence. Only a faint outline existed. She was terrified of this personage, wondering what it could be. Would this be death himself coming at her command, saying, "Slay me now, die, I'm in despair." And so feared was she that she just remained there and pulled the covers over her eyes, watching this figure. She said that she could only see the outline of it, and it stayed with her the entirety of the night. Said nothing. But it seemed to be dressed like a simple nun of some kind, maybe wearing a brown habit of some kind, but she wasn't even sure of that years later. It stayed with her the whole of the night. Even waking one moment in the middle of the night, she said she still felt that she was there, and so she shut her eyes and would not open. But yet, though the nun or the creature who was there, the person, human being, she said it must have been, said nothing, yet there was a ray of light that had penetrated into my despair. She said, quote, "Before losing all hope in God, there is still one thing I can do. I can go to a convent and pray." And so she proceeded from that moment. She proceeded from that moment to say that as soon as her father had passed from this earth, because it would cause too much distress for his soul, for him to do it during her to do it during his life, she said she would go. This is what she speaks about her own vocation. Maybe it speaks to something of your realization of your vocation. She says, quote, "Was it a vocation? It was the exclusive cause of an irresistible attraction toward the cloister, which was not thought out, but experienced. It changed my life. How many times I've wished that I had not that attraction, which cost me so many journeyings and so many sacrifices. It was the will of God. I could have escaped from it because I did not at all see it as the will of God, which I was seeking in a groping way. But then I would have lost an inner peace within myself, a peace without which I could not live." With the time remaining, she had a really good spiritual director. His name is Jesus Christ. He spoke to her. You can't do better than him. And this is what our Lord spoke to her in her many visitations of the Lord. He said to her, "To find me, to know me, to receive me, then to come to me. That is the only meaning of every life. All activities, all zeal are subordinate to that. And to have only the value of means in the measure in which they lead to me. I am the Alpha and the Omega, you, your God, and your all. How is it then that so many lives, in so many lives, I am accepted and treated as merely something which is supplementary? People come to me in distress, beseeching, and I always give. Where are those who love me simply because I am the Savior, because I am your God and your all? Oh, if you would leave me just to act, just to do, I would wonderfully transform each one of your lives. But you oppose me by your desires, your tastes, your resistance. My omnipotent love is limited by the limit of your generosity. At least, do not you resist. Do not you resist, my little daughter. Be generous unto the end. Sometimes we wonder who are God's enemies. We know who God's enemies are. It's not persons, but evil forces. It's not sinners, but rather it is the sins which they give themselves to. Ephesians speaks of that, and St. Paul correct. This is what our Lord said to her. He said to her, my enemies are lying, especially the lack of sincerity which paralyzes so many souls, because they will not acknowledge to themselves their most hidden intentions. Carelessness and ignorance due to laziness, agitation, disorder, noise, noise of words, noise of selfish desires, the noise that men invent to distract themselves in order to forget me. My friends are what? Their truth, sincerity, silence, order, and that respect which discovers me in all creatures. We often wonder within our lives as religious, what does trust in Jesus really accomplish? What's its goal? What's its end? Our Lord tells us. He said to her, saying, you should believe what I say. Why do you doubt? Have I ever deceived you even one single occasion? Yes, believe in me. In spite of all appearances, then your soul will be free and it will be happy. Those who love me a little have a little confidence in me. Those who love me much, they have great confidence in me. Those who place no limit on their love have a consolation in me without bounds or limit. I cannot disappoint them. You honor me more by the confidence you show me than by all that you could give me. And notice, I respond at once by putting joy into the heart that honors me with confidence. The whole of our vocation is to bring joy to the happiness of God. But what brings happiness to the heart of God? Our Lord speaks to her again and says, as I am happy, yes, happy, happy to show you. Happy to show you the marks of my passion. See how your love, how your God has loved you, pointing to his wounds. Will you not also be happy to me and to show me the marks of your love? Oh, how if you knew how long I long for you, not to approach you, but to overwhelm you with joy, showing you the very marks of my own love. What does God use his omnipotence for, his royal dignity? We often think it's for something far different than what he actually desires to use it for. This is what he says. He says, people have a false idea of me. They take me for a master who distributes his favors at his caprice and who enforces his will. Do you understand that I enforce nothing? I am powerless before your liberty. It is I who beg for your love. Look at me, grasping for breath upon the cross. Behold my royalty. I have expiated your sins, but I do not even force you to believe it. I show you my passion. Does it not speak to you? And I wait. Behold my divinity in indistinguishable, in an indefatigable patience. Throughout the centuries I await souls. I never refuse them. Ask just to know me better. Do the same with your life. He says that, not Father Burnaby. He says, do the same with your life. Make reparation, expiate. Love without asking for anything in return, and wait patiently until you too are loved. Never refuse to give love. It is I whom you honor and serve so tenderly. I have such need of it. That's what reparation is about. Something that speaks to us in our particular convent here. The question is often asked, well, what good are sick nuns to a convent? What good is a convent that has so many in the infirmary? Our Lord speaks to this. He says, happy are the families and convents that have sick members, because by being visited, the sick safeguard the patient, the practice of gentleness and patience. They expiate. They bear my likeness, the image of Christ suffering within his church. To comfort them in a spirit of faith is to perform a work of reparation in the midst of the church, the reparation I expect from those who love me. A house where there are no sick nuns, the risk of living more for itself, risks living more for itself than for me. I'll repeat what our Lord said there. A house where there are no sick nuns runs the risk of living more for itself than for me. I am always more sensitive, more active where there is suffering, because I am welcomed there and I am listened to there. To conclude, when we think about the saints, those who have given many mystical experiences, oftentimes we ask the question, well, yeah, I get it, Father, the saints are special. They're great. They're loved by God in this intimate way. Well, what about me? I'm not special. God won't speak to me like that. That's for others. Our Lord Jesus has this to say. He says, Do not be disturbed at repeating to your father, meaning your spiritual director, what I say to you, because there's nothing extraordinary in it. I speak to each soul. And if there are some who do not hear me, it is because they do not listen to me. There must be a profound silence, because my voice is soft. The soul must be freed from all engrossing thoughts. I must be loved in spirit and in truth. The whole being must be in the truth. Yes, it is I who speak to you. Why do you not believe me? Have I ever deceived you? All that I have told you has come to pass. The saints attracted many souls to my church by the radiance of their sanctity. You cannot do that. But that does not matter to me. Just give me your everything. Just give me your everything. I will use what you give me to attract many souls to my church. The Lord speaks those words not just to this beautiful soul which we have today, this great mystic, this woman of God who came from such great despair. He spoke to Sister Mary of the Holy Trinity, this poor Claire nun, so that he could speak to you and me. Let the words of Christ reverberate within our souls to recognize, just as St. Paul was thought dead, the Lord by a miraculous power brought him to life that he may immediately go back and continue to preach ceaselessly to those who would spitefully use him. And so to our Lord, in the midst of every discouragement that we have, says the same, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And all we have to do is give him whatever weakness we have back. He knows what to do with it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.